Sir, HKX Mobile.
Patrick, how you doing this morning? In 4DJC.
Jerry, how's your back doing?
About as back to normal as it's going to get, I think. Feels pretty good yesterday and today. Took me a couple of days. It didn't last that long, maybe. It lasted about 4 days this time. Wasn't debilitating like it could have been, but it wasn't comfortable.
You're back up on your feet and back on the radio again.
This morning.
Helped my stepdad get a mattress over here up in Arden, so I'm going to haul it back for them.
Well, I know that thing. That's a good way to get you back acting up again.
Ain't nothing like fighting a mattress. They can just be a world of hurt waiting to happen.
You know, my wife hurt her shoulder. We were getting my son and her were getting rid of a box spring. The guy already held the mattress off for us. He was supposed to haul the box spring off too, but he didn't come back in time to suit us. It went down in his truck, and she finished hurting her rotator cuff, I think, trying to push that thing over into the garbage dump over there. The box springs and mattresses, that's like wrestling. Those things are horrible, especially the big ones they have now.
Heavy wet noodle.
Get in the machine, okay, I'm on around 10 watts. A little noisy here the last few days, or the last week or so. I got vegetation, got trees and stuff with leaves on between me and the repeater now, so not quite as good as it was. Got a little crackling nuts. You sound fine, Dave.
Fighting into the repeater, you're doing a good job, so don't worry about that right now.
Situation. I hadn't even looked at it. I hadn't filled my tank up. I'm going to need to sometime in the next couple of days. I guess it's gone up again.
It has gone up, but you should be able to find it about anywhere you want to find it. So there's places that are out of medium grade or premium or diesel here and there, but most everywhere's got regular gas now.
I put mine anyway. It's just regular lead. I got a Sam's up the road here about a mile and a half, about 2 miles, I guess. I usually get a better price on it. Plus, I get a 5% off when I use my car there, too. So, they've been out of gas. They had it last week, though, but there was a line going out there, and one of the small stations over here had it, but they were like $3 a gallon, I think. But thankfully, they didn't have to go anywhere that much.
It's getting back to normal, but the gas prices are going up, that's for sure.
Driving stuff like you have to drive and haul and all that trailer around and all that, that's definitely tough on it. On people like you have to work for a living and drive for a living.
Makes everything else go up also, because there's no way around it. We have to transfer that cost into the products we're selling.
Talking about increasing the sales tax and gas tax in South Carolina. One of my good friends, Kevin Bryant, he was Lieutenant Governor. I've known him for years. He's a local pharmacist here, and he was telling me, he said, well, when they talk about that gas tax going up, he said, just remember, he said, this is not going to fix potholes, leave the infrastructure and stuff like that. And sure enough, potholes got worse, I think, even though the tax went up.
Most all of our politicians are so far out of touch with reality that they got no clue what it costs for a regular person to live.
It's the tax. It was all along. He just thought it was silly because he said, you know, that he said, we got plenty of, I'm talking about how much money they have for infrastructure, and there's a lot of stuff the DOT can save. And you know, just to keep throwing that plant mix, I call it plant mix, it's just asphalt back in the pothole instead of fixing them right. And then the first rain and freeze comes through, it's all washed out again. You got the same pothole set up all over again to deal with, knocking wheels out of alignment. That's neither here nor there, I guess. But How's your business been? Everything still going strong?
My business is down quite a bit, but I think it's more because I don't have the inventory with me that I normally carry because I don't have my truck. That's the biggest issue right now.
I worked with him for years, told me his daddy was a salesman, outside sales guy, and he said, you know, something you can't sell from an empty wagon. That's a pretty special tool. If you got it there for them to look at it, they'll buy it.
The thing about this year is it's impulse buys. They got a problem with a car that they're working on and they need it right now. And if you got it to solve that problem, they'll generally buy it. But if they have to wait on it, it's not doing them any good. So, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Settle up right with you if you still have the pipe.
I got an email yesterday where they finally got the check and got somebody to sign the paperwork, so looks like everything will be done by the end of next week, so I can move on and get me another truck finally. Only took them a little over 6 months. I mean, ain't no big deal.
You dragged your feet. They want you to pay them, but they dragged your feet paying out like that. That's always the case, though. Yes, I hate dealing with insurance companies, but you got to have it. You can't do without it, I guess. Keep self-insured these days because people will see you for every penny you got. But I'll tell you one thing, if there's any injury involved in it on your side, though, they sure would have settled in a hurry then. They want to get that done. There was somebody ran, hit my daughter in the side of her, you know, crossed a couple of lanes there, somebody waving them out and ran inside of my daughter's Toyota minivan. It took a long time. I mean, they settled up pretty fast, but the insurance company, they still drug their feet about fixing it, getting it fixed right and that sort of thing. But since when any injuries in, they just, luckily the grandkids weren't in the car with her. She was by herself. But they did settle up because they had a hard time getting parts for it. You know, those minivans got those auto doors, you know, that's open on both sides. And those things are expensive and it's hard to get them fixed, too. Get the body shop to fix them right so they close properly.
So you're working on some of those. They can be fun and frustrating at the same time. I mean, getting all that stuff synced up where it shuts just right and your door gap's right. No wind noise, no leaks. Yeah, it's very time consuming and will test your patience. Let's put it that way.
Automatic auto door closers like the rear door closers and those things are real pains to deal with too. I mean, that stuff is really expensive to fix, especially the tailgate. The closed rear doors are even more expensive to fix from what I understand. It's a little bit easier to get them lined up, but it was like, one of my friends had one. I can't remember what kind of car they had now. It was one of the vans. Might have been an SUV, I think, Patrick, but it was one of these big ones. It was like a, I can't remember now whether it was an Excursion or it was a big Ford or whether it was a big, like a Suburban or something like that. That thing was like, it was like thousands of dollars to get that thing fixed. M4DJC Friday.
Those lift motors for those are kind of pricey because of having to lift all that weight. And then you got all the safety features that are built into it that have to work so that it senses if there's something in the door and it reopens and won't close this or, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's quite the contraption when you get to thinking about it.
I tried to find something as simple as possible when I bought my slash side, but they all got all kinds of electronic stuff on them now. When something goes bad, it's expensive to repair it, but I told them, I said, I don't want any auto-dim mirrors. Don't give me those things. The one I had, had one of those, before I had one of those things that would teach which direction you and I said, I know which direction I'm going. That thing failed, though. And then it went auto-dim. That thing's about $300 for place that mirror. And I told him, I said, if you can take anything and put me a regular mirror that flips up in it, I'll do that. And that's what it did. This Accord I bought three years ago, it's got regular flip-up rear view mirror on it. I like it a whole lot better. You know, it's just a windshield. I have to be real careful because they say if you break these windshields, now it's like $1,300, $1,400
to replace one. Amazing what stuff costs anymore, and just the simple things that we take for granted. You know, you buy a car, and you think, okay, it won't be too much to tear it up. Just, you know, buying a mirror, and I've seen those mirrors upwards of $1,200 for some of these things. You know, where it's got the auto dim, turn signals, flashers, and heat in it, power this, power fold, and all the sensors they got in them now. Yeah, I've seen them be real pricey.
It's expensive because it's got all that GPS stuff in this one sitting on a box. But I don't know if you take that thing off or not. I don't have any idea. It's got the stuff for the Siri radio, and all that stuff in it too. The antennas in the back, I suppose. Rear view camera. I don't have a front view camera. That's one thing I wish I'd had because I can't tell where the front. You can see the hood. You can sit down kind of low in this and you can see the hood, almost the full hood, but you can't see what's in front of the hood. And the front bumpers, it's real hard for me to tell what front bumper is. That's one area that I wish I'd gotten a camera for because they didn't offer it on a trim level I had, and I wouldn't have had to spend a whole lot more money just to get that one up there. Works good, but when it quits working, I'm just afraid what's going to be the deal. But you can't only buy one with that, and now all of them, it's all standard with it.
If you wanted to add the front-facing camera, you probably could do it pretty easy. One of these aftermarket stereo shops or accessory shops, they can probably take care of that for you. There's all kinds of stuff out there for that nowadays. So if that's something you're really interested in, you can check into that. And I'm pretty sure somebody can help you out with that.
Sad idea, Patrick. I'll have to check that out. I just can't tell. You know, the other cars I could kind of see over the hood pretty well. I knew where it was. And this was a little longer in the front than my little Civic I drove. Still driving is. I can tell where it is because the hood slopes down. This one kind of sits flat and it sits kind of high. And I'm just not accustomed to it. The car's wider too. And have to watch out when I'm running, make sure I don't run over a bunch of curbs or anything like that with it. I'm used to a smaller car. This one's not that much bigger. If I had a truck or something like that, I'd run over every curb in Anderson County, I guess.
Before HK for ID, man, I don't know what it's like to drive anything small. The smallest thing I drive is my wife's Escape every now and then. And I feel like I'm riding around in a roller skate compared to everything else I drive.
You got an Excursion, don't you?
I do have a 2000 model Ford Excursion, and then I also have a 97 F-350 crew cab long wheelbase that I own, and then the wife of the Escape.
350, that thing needs a zip code on it, I guess, dude.
Only being two zip codes at one time.
I always get a kick out of people buying these big trucks and not using them. Looks like nothing ever been put in the bed of them. I always drove small trucks. I never owned a big truck. I always drove like those old pre-Tacoma Toyotas and four drives and stuff like that when I was more active outdoors. And I love those things. You can whip those things around just about anywhere, but you get them on a trip, then they'll wear you out. You don't have something that's got some weight and got a decent wheelbase. I know my daughter had, they loaned her an Excursion for, I think it was an Excursion for a while. I take that back. It might have been whatever the shorter one is. It's not the three row. And man, that thing had the mirrors that pulled in when you go through a narrow spot. I mean, that thing drove great. And I got short legs and had to use a step to get up in it, about a step ladder to get out of it. But it was a good driving SUV, and it was pretty easy for me to drive because I was up behind it. I could see where everything was too. It didn't have I was behind it where I could see the front of the hood and that sort of deal. See both sides real well, see where my wheels were. And I didn't have as much trouble with it as I thought I would. But when you get much longer wheelbase than that in, or if I'm hauling or something, I'm liable to run over a curb.
We had the Expedition XL, which is about the same size as a Suburban. That's what took the place of the Excursion. Ford done away with it, and then made the XL on the Expedition.
I don't remember which one it was. It was a short one, I think, but I couldn't remember whether it was the Expedition. But it was still a big SUV. But yeah, I think it drove good. It was a loner while they were fixing her other car. Her other was like 6'4", and he fit in that thing just great. And they were, but I don't think they wanted to get anything quite that big. The kids are getting a little bit older now. They still got all everything with them when they go. But they like driving that thing, and she found, I guess it's an X5 or whatever, the BMW, you know, that SUV there. She found one. The BMW called her up, said they had a 2013 there, and found that it only had like 25,000 miles on that thing, and she bought that thing for a song, and that was a really nice car. It looked like it'd been garaged the whole time. Got a great deal on it. I said, well, I said, it don't matter if it's long as it's been stored inside, hadn't been wrecked, and, you know, got that low mileage on it. I was, hey, you can beat that with a stick. I think drives great, too. But it's not as big as that other one was. But her husband fixing that one okay, but he's going to have to get him a bigger SUV if he gets something to replace that minivan with. He just won't fit in a room, you know. Car like a short fella like me can get into it. He don't fit in as well.
That's all. You need a bigger vehicle, whether you want to pay for it or not. If not, you feel like your knees are up around your neck trying to drive. So, but there's plenty of them out there nowadays that are big enough to get somebody like that in. The Explorer, believe it or not, is one of the smaller. It's a mid-sized SUV. Was considered, but it's got lots of room in it, and it swallows me whole. And I'm not a big guy by any means, but they're just huge inside. I just don't like how low you sit down in them. I feel like I can't see where I'm going.
Damn, I got short legs. My torso is kind of long, but I got short legs. I got to get up a little closer to the controls than other people do sometimes to accommodate my short legs, but then I can't. If I get down low enough to get comfortable, these dadgum windows on these new cars now, the window frames are so shallow that I bump my head about every time I get in and out of it if I'm not careful. So, this will be 3 years old in December. I may look at something a little bit. It sits up a little higher. I don't know whether I am or not. It drives so good, though. It gives such great gas mileage. I get about 40 miles a gallon. It's not even a hybrid. It rides great, then. It's just getting in and out of it. When you get old, Patrick, you got a back problem, that's when something easy to get in and out of. Well, you don't have to bend over or a grunt to get out of it. It makes a big difference right on back.
Why is the light? Right side where she can just sit down and get in it. She ain't getting up or down. It's just right there for her. That's why she likes those. So I try to keep her in one of those. And I can get in and out of them, no problem. But you get some of these cars where they got that cab forward design, and it's hard for me to get my neck bent to get in and out of them. I hit my head. And like I said, I'm not a tall person by any means. I'm like you. I got short arms, long torso. I don't know how some of these tall people get in and out of them, and then they have to lay down practically in the drive. I don't see how they do it.
Forrester had a 2011. I just Yeah, I could just open the door of that thing and wheel my feet out, and they were right there on the ground. It didn't have anything, any flared, anything there at the door that flares out like they do now. That's my problem with the cord. It flares out at the bottom instead of being straight down. I got to kind of stick my feet out a little further and to be able to get out of it comfortably. It was easy getting in and out of that thing, but I just, man, taking service on those things was awful. Plus, there's not a dealer. Yeah, the closer dealer is Greenville for me, so I was having to drive over there to get it serviced. It just, that all-wheel drive is great when you need it, but when you don't need it, it's just something else to wear out. Wore my tires out and didn't get very good gas mileage for a car that size.
Subarus are real popular up here where I'm at, especially when you get toward Asheville. They're all over the place. So there's a dealer up here, and you see them all the time. So, but yeah, that stepping out away from a car, I don't like that either. I don't like to have big running boards and all that other stuff on there. It ends up getting my pants dirty when I get in and out, and that aggravates me. I live on a dirt road, so I don't like that either.
You and I got the same problem. That's a complaint I had about it. If it's raining or something, unless I got a pair of jeans or something on it, I got to be real careful getting out of it. I have to feel like a ballerina and get out on one foot in order to get out far enough. I don't have to dress up very often anymore, but that is a problem. And just gets all that road ground all over the back of your wrist, back of your pants, legs. That's exactly the issue I got with it. But like I said, I don't have any trouble. I'm just narrowing. If I can get out of it, it's still kind of low to the ground, but it's got the windows are taller in it, so I don't bump my head in the daggum thing. I told my wife, I said, I might trade that. And I said, that's a course to drive a kid. I said, but if I continue to have trouble getting in and out of it, I might have to find something else. Well, I still got some value left in it anyway. But you and I sound like we got the same, we grumble about the same things, Patrick.
Say 7-3s, I'm about to get up here close to the actual airport, and I'm going to have to pay attention to the people around me so that they don't run me over. So I'm going to say 7-3 to you. It was good talking to you, and I'm glad you're feeling better. And I hope you have a good weekend this weekend. So KO4 ATX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Patrick, take care of driving and watch out for that mattress in your back, young fellow. You don't need to get it out of whack again. Enjoy talking with you as usual. Maybe catch you later on in the weekend. But 7-3 to you. Have a great afternoon. N4DJC clear.